Welcome to this episode of FEA Today. My name is Matt Costella, director of the Fundamental Evangelistic Association headquartered at the Grace Bible Church in Fresno, California. Our hope and prayer is that this brief program will encourage you in the things of the Lord and direct your attention to God's Word as you seek to make sense of the world in which you find yourself today. I want to begin this episode of FEA Today with a moment of praise and thanks to God. This is the week that the FEA celebrates its 90th anniversary. The FEA was founded in April of 1928, April 17th, 1928, 90 years ago this week. My great-grandfather and several other godly men founded this ministry in an effort to preach the gospel, teach the word, and contend for the faith in an age which the faith was continually and increasingly becoming under attack by theological liberalism in the schools and the churches and the Bible institutes and colleges 90 years ago. And we find ourselves today, 90 years later, with things obviously even much worse off than they were all the way back then. And yet for 90 years, the grace of God has sustained this ministry in preaching the gospel, teaching the word, and contending for the faith. And so I want to just begin by thanking the Lord publicly today for his goodness and grace and strength and allowing us to press forward for so many years when so many other ministries that maybe started out well don't stand where they once stood or don't even exist today. And we praise and thank the Lord for his grace and his goodness to this ministry. Last time at FEA Today, we considered the question, who are you to judge? We began a discussion, or a consideration, I should say, of the topic of judging and who are you to judge. We considered a couple of answers to the question when we seek to either warn or make judgment calls or exercise discernment, and people respond by saying, well, who are you to judge? We considered two particular answers to that question from God's Word. Number one, we need to answer by saying that, well, we're just an imperfect person. We're not perfect, but we're viewed by God in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And we considered that it's the grace of God that teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust so that we can live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And we also considered the second answer to the question, who are you to judge? We should be able to say that we don't know the heart, we don't know the motives, but we can recognize or discern behavior and beliefs or doctrine. And that is what God calls us to do in Matthew chapter 7. And throughout Scripture, we looked at 1 John chapter 4, we are called to recognize beliefs and behavior and make judgment calls. And so it's very important that we understand this as believers today. The third answer to the question, who are you to judge, is probably the bedrock answer that we have to understand from Scripture, and that is we are called by God to exercise discernment in this day and age. We are called by God to judge. In other words, it is our responsibility before God to make judgment calls. And again, as we mentioned last time, we're not talking here about judging motives or heart. We're talking here about judging doctrine or belief, and then the subsequent behavior that comes from that. Scripture makes it clear, as we're going to see today, that only God's word and consistent diligence in God's word, only that can be our measuring stick for discernment. It's not based upon my feelings, my traditions, my emotions. It's God's word. That is our measuring stick for judgment or for discernment. Notice John chapter 7 and verse 24. Jesus is speaking here and he says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. In the context here, we discover that these Jews who were talking with Jesus in the temple were totally void of discernment. For they would speak of killing Jesus for healing a man on the Sabbath, and yet they would circumcise an infant on the eighth day if it fell on the Sabbath. You see, these religious leaders were not only hypocritical, but they lacked any discernment at all. And so Jesus then exhorts those who were listening and, of course, those who were reading his word thousands of years later, he exhorts us to refrain from viewing and judging events based on a shallow understanding, that is, according to the appearance, but we are to weigh events and we are then to judge righteous judgment. And that's what John chapter 24 tells us to do. We are to judge righteous judgment. What does that mean? Well, to judge righteous judgment means to judge rightly based on a standard of righteousness, not on a standard of feeling or emotion or pragmatism. You see, discernment here is the key. It's not possible for us to judge righteous judgment as Jesus commands without discernment, and it is impossible for us to possess discernment if we don't even know God's word and God's will in the first place. You see, we need to test everything by the standard of righteousness, and that is the person and the word of God. Notice Hebrews chapter 5. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, the author of Hebrews writes to these Jewish Christians, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." A very important text. For here the author of Hebrews is linking the knowledge of God's word with the ability to properly judge between right and wrong, truth and error, good and evil. Now, we must keep in mind here, these Hebrew Christians were in danger of reverting back to legalistic works-related sanctification. And yet, the author of Hebrews says these Christians were, number one, dull of hearing. We see that in verse 11. They were not receptive to the truth, the standard. He says these Christians were, number one, dull of hearing, but number two, he says they were spiritual babies. We see that in verses 12 and 13. They should have been more mature by this point, but instead they were unskillful in knowing and using the word of God. And that resulted in their inability to exercise judgment and discernment. And we see that in verse 14. And so the author of Hebrews is chastising them really for this inability. In verse 1, he says, Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Let's grow up. Let's mature. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. So the author of Hebrews is telling these dull of hearing spiritual babies that it's time to move on to maturity. Very important that we understand it's the word of God, the knowledge of God's word that gives us the ability to properly judge between truth and error, right and wrong, good and evil. We must not be spiritually immature. We must not be dull of hearing so that we can judge. We can exercise discernment. We are called by God to exercise discernment. The final text I want to consider in this episode is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we read in verse 20, the Apostle Paul writing to the believers in Thessalonica and to us today, "Despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, and abstain from all appearance of evil." These are very important verses because they describe how, as Christians, we quench not the Spirit, which we read in verse 19. If you listen to the world or carnal Christians today and judge not, then you will certainly quench the Spirit. But how are we instructed to live in a manner that allows the Holy Spirit to control our lives? That's what Paul is explaining in verses 20, 21, and 22. How do we quench not the Spirit? First of all, number one, we receive God's word. That's what verse 20 tells us. Despise not prophesying. Despise not. To despise not means to regard it as nothing or to make it of no account. It's a present imperative. To prophesy in Scripture means to proclaim the word of God. Today we have this word in completion before us. So what verse 20 is telling us today is, don't disregard God's word to you. Do not disregard the word of God. This is, again, how we quench not the spirit. Number one, we receive God's word. Don't disregard the word of God. So many people today sadly think, well, that's not for me, or this doesn't really apply to me, or I don't really believe what the Bible says. Does God's word mean much to you as a believer today? If not, you're truly guilty of violating this instruction. We need to make much of God's word. It's his communication to us. So how do we quench not the spirit? Number one, we receive God's word. Number two, we exercise discernment. Verse 21, prove all things. Again, the word prove here, it's a present imperative. It means to exercise discernment in regard to everything that we see or hear. Prove all things. Exercise discernment. Judge all things. In fact, the fact that it's a present imperative means we're to not stop. Don't stop exercising discernment. What's the measuring stick by which we measure everything we see, everything we hear? Is it your pastor's beliefs, your own opinions, the traditions of your past? Is your measuring stick for judgment the discoveries or practices of the largest, most quote-unquote successful churches in town, the way the experts tell you you should do church? No, not at all. It's God's word. It is the standard for judging. It is the standard for discernment. God's word alone is objective, and God's word alone is without error. It will never mislead us. People may mislead you. God's word will never mislead you. So to quench not the spirit, number one, we receive God's word, verse 20. Number two, we exercise discernment, the first part of verse 21, prove all things. And number three, we then apply the word of God. And that's what we have in the latter part of verse 21 and verse 22. We prove all things. And then here's our response. Hold fast to that which is good and abstain from all appearance of evil. Receiving God's word and even knowing the difference between truth and error or right and wrong means very little if you do not live out what is right. And so the Apostle Paul exhorts us that after we have made much of the word of God and then exercise discernment in all things, we are to then hold fast to that which is good. That phrase hold fast means to embrace it and to not let go. It's interesting because Paul frequently in the New Testament talks about the exact opposite of holding fast, which is being tossed about. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, Paul talks about being tossed about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. You see, to believe everything you hear is to quench the spirit and be rendered ineffective for God. Don't believe everything you hear. Prove all things and then hold fast to that which is good. And here's the flip side then in verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain, also a present imperative. You see, when the things you see or hear are measured against the test of Scripture and they come up short, get away. Don't see how close you can get. Don't see how you can try to make it conform to what God says. Don't see how close you can get. Don't see if you can Christianize it. Separate from it. Biblical separation is very important to God, and it should be important to us. Who are you to judge? Well, I'm an imperfect person, but I'm viewed in the righteousness of Christ. Who are you to judge? Well, I don't know your heart or your motive, but I can recognize belief and behavior. Who are you to judge? Well, it's very clear in the Word of God that He calls me to exercise discernment. May this be true in our lives as Bible-believing, grace-oriented Christians today for our good, but ultimately for God's glory. May the Lord bless you. Until next time.